like he wasn't telling me everything, I could usually find his plans and secrets there. I'm making this all up quickly. I hope Raiden can't tell. In truth, my father has a room he alone enters at the keep, his private getaway. I've been tempted many times to sneak in. I even made an attempt once. When Father found me outside fiddling with the lock, he said if I was so interested in his locked doors, he'd put me behind one. And he did, in a cell deep down, for a month. But then one day, I continue, the space below the floorboards was empty, and nothing has been kept there ever since.
He found you out?
Or suspected what I was up to, and didn't want to take any chances. Though he seems natural, relaxed, Raiden has to be holding on to my every word. There's no chance he isn't hoping I'll tell him some of my father's secrets. But that's not the purpose of this conversation. I'm trying to learn Lord Jeskor's secrets. What about your father, I ask? Did he have a place where he kept secrets? Did you ever learn something you weren't supposed to? Do you know where he hid his section of the map?
Honestly, I was never curious enough to care. When we were younger, Draxon would coax me into helping him find secret panels below decks. It never turned out to be profitable, though.
I can relate. I've already been through all of those panels. I can't deny I enjoy talking with Raiden, but I was really hoping for something useful to come out of the conversation. Something that would make me realize exactly where the map is. I should have known better.
Besides, if there was anything so important to my father, he probably wouldn't have let it out of his sight. He likely would have kept it on him at all times. And Draxon and I were never foolish enough to try stealing something off him.
Oh. Chapter 13. Raiden leaves to find me some breakfast. Meanwhile, I ponder on my own stupidity. Of course you would keep something so valuable on your person at all times. After Jeskor died, his sons would have searched his body. They would have found the map. Draxon is one of the greediest men I've ever met. If he didn't already know what the map was, he would have done everything he could to find out. And once he did... Draxon's despicable and abusive and manipulative. He's the last thing I'd ever want to touch on this ship. Perhaps that's why I never thought to check if he carries the map on him. Of course he would. Where else would you keep something you don't want anyone else to find? I'll bet that's the real reason why Raiden and Draxon rebelled against their father, tried to take the ship, and ended up slaughtering the original crew. How could it be over anything less than the map that leads to the treasure of 1,000 ages? To think I might have been so close to it so very many times. But it could be anywhere on him. Any pocket on his coat, shirt, breeches. Even tucked into his underthings. Oh, I truly hope it's not there. Unfortunately for me, there's only one way to find out. I've no choice but to seduce the captain. I hate doing that, but how else am I going to get him alone? I could wait until tonight when he's asleep, but I don't want to waste what little is left of my song to keep him asleep. Draxon may be a deeper sleeper than Raiden, but how could anyone stay asleep while someone is stripping them of all their clothing? No, I need to act now, as soon as Raiden returns. I cannot risk getting to the checkpoint without already having the map to present to my father. Time to use more of what Mother gave me. Raiden comes back with breakfast. More eggs. I eat quickly. Then I tell him, I want to go outside today.
Why? He asks suspiciously.
Because I've been cooped up in here like some child's pet, and I want out.
If you're out on the deck, the captain will expect you to work.
Fine. Raiden fumbles with the empty dish in his hand, but catches it before it connects with the ground.
What did you say?
I said, fine. Is there something wrong with your ears?
I was under the impression you didn't do anything that involved getting your clothes dirty.
I learned as a little girl that pirating means being filthy from time to time. You just have to be rich enough to afford regular bathing and several changes of clothes. Speaking of which, I want a new outfit.
But you're going to get dirty.
I know that, but I've already been in this one for too many days. Enwin's been bringing me new clothes since I was moved to Raiden's room. It's very thoughtful of him, but I don't have the time to wait around for him to decide to bring me more. I need to be clean and fresh when I seduce Draxon.
All right, I'll go grab you something,
Raiden says. No, I want you to bring all my things. He snorts.
Not a chance. Who knows what else you're hiding in there? You'll get one outfit and one outfit alone.
Enwin didn't grant that request either, but it was worth a try. Fine, I say. Bring me the green one.
The green one?
Yes, you'll know it when you see it. And I want a fresh blouse and leggings.
Anything else? Some undergarments, perhaps?
I wouldn't dream of giving you the satisfaction. He laughs.
You can't exactly stop me now, can you?
He leaves much too quickly for me to believe he's simply doing a lady a favor. Too eager he was. Perhaps he didn't want to listen to my arguments. Or it's the thrill of going through my underthings.
What is this? Raiden demands some time later.
He doesn't even bother to shut the door behind him when re-entering. My clothing, I respond. Honestly, Raiden, have you forgotten the names of...
No,
he says, cutting off my rather witty remark.
This is not clothing. This wouldn't cover a child.
It stretches, you dolt.
Stretches,
he exclaims.
No, you will not wear this.
He tosses me instead a wad of purple fabric that he's been holding in his other hand. It's a corset, but this one is an overbust instead of an underbust. It's complete with a hood and short attachable sleeves. Whatever did my green top do to offend you, I ask.
You're not daft, Alosa. Do you think a single member of the crew would be able to focus on their duties if you wore that?
That is exactly why I chose it. I need to get Draxon's attention. He's never looked at me as anything more than an inconvenience. Today, that has to change, and I have to do it without wasting what's left of my song. He's the captain, and I'm his prisoner, but I need him to look at me as more than that. He needs to be unable to see me as anything other than a woman. In that green assortment, it's impossible to mistake the fact. That's hardly my problem, I say. I want the green one.
Well, you can't have it. I'm tossing it over the edge of the railing.
Come now, Raiden. That's hardly fair.
You're a prisoner. Nothing's supposed to be fair for you.
Fine, I will have to make do with the purple corset. But I can't help but tease Raiden a bit first. Are you sure there's not something more at work here, Raiden?
What do you mean?
I think you're acting like a jealous husband.
A what?
You know, men that women shackle themselves onto.
Yes, I know what a husband is.
He clenches his fists and glares at me. He's awfully handsome when he's angry.
There is nothing to be jealous of.
So you're saying that if I were to wear that top, it would in no way affect you personally?
Not at all.
Then there's no problem with me wearing it, is there? Give it to me. He clenches his teeth.
No.
I suppose I will have to rely more on body language, but I think it can be done. With some men, I can catch their attention in a potato sack. Draxon seems smart. Smart enough to realize if I'm trying too hard. This will have to be done very carefully. Fine. Leave so I can change. Or will you be unable to handle knowing I'll be naked in your room? I'm baiting him, and he knows it. I'm impressed he manages another glare before slamming the door. With expert fingers, I lace on the top and attach the sleeves. They curve out into points above my shoulders. I put on the hood as well. If I end up doing anything too embarrassing, it would be nice to have something to hide my face behind. Raiden did indeed bring my underthings. I try not to think about the fact that he touched them while I slip on the rest of my clean clothes. It's amazing what a new outfit can do for my spirits. I emerge from Raiden's room a new woman, free of snark, attitude, and morals. everything I assume Draxon is attracted to. Time to play. I've spent so much time around pirates that I've adopted my own sort of swagger. But that is not my natural inclination when I walk. Sirens are creatures of grace and beauty. They're more driven by instinct than learning and habits. I tap into that side of me, that place that I usually hide. I suppose I don't really need the green top. In this form, I can sense exactly what men want. And I can be that for them in order to get what I want. They can't hide their emotions from me. Each one swirls around them in a haze of color. Each step on the deck is soft and graceful. My movements are fragile and angelic. My face is devoid of the intelligence lurking in my mind or the thieving force that drives me. I can feel each fragment of the wind as it slides along my skin. I can feel the salt in the air. I can feel each strand of hair on my head sense the movements of those around me. Sirens are creatures whose sole existence depends on enchanting men. I can switch over to that nature effortlessly. But I loathe it. I don't feel like myself. I live on the cusp of two worlds, trying desperately to fit into one. Heads turn as I exit Raiden's quarters. I pretend not to notice. "Where would you like me?" I ask Raiden. My voice has softened, taking on an almost musical tone. But I'm not enchanting anyone with my voice. I can't control more than three at a time. It wouldn't do me any good on a ship with so many men, even if I had enough song in me. Probably shouldn't have put so much into Raiden the other night. But I couldn't resist once I'd started. Raiden's mouth drops open after I speak. He looks at me as though he's never seen me before. In a way, I suppose he hasn't. My appearance hasn't changed at all, only the way I hold myself. The way I act, speak, move. I've taken on my siren nature. And while I look the same, the men can still tell something is different, and it piques their interest.
"What's going on? Why has everyone stopped?"
Draxon now looks my way. For a moment, he is caught like everyone else. I lock eyes with him, showing my interest in the subtlest of ways. He shakes his head, as though catching himself out of some sort of daze.
"Get back to work, or there will be lashings for everyone. Raiden, what is she doing on my deck?"
Raiden, too, shakes himself out of the momentary stupor.
"She's opted to work on the deck rather than rot in my quarters. I think she's getting a bit restless, Captain."
Draxon eyes me carefully. I give him a gentle smile that makes him swallow before speaking.
"Did the chains make you change your mind then, Princess?"
"Yes, Captain." No sarcasm, just sincerity and innocence. Submissiveness. I try not to cringe as the word enters my mind. Horrid word, that one. But it is what I must be if this is to work. For my father, I'm willing to become everything that I hate. Raiden and Draxon both pause as though they're waiting for me to say more. Ah, they're waiting for the smart comment that is sure to follow. Let them wait. Siren Elosa is the promise of a man's fantasy. Right now, I'm tuned into Draxon, trying to become his. Raiden turns to Draxon as though he will have some sort of answer for my behavior. If I weren't so in tune with my role, I would laugh. Draxon is seeing me anew. He sees my weakness as his strength. I am something to be dominated, something to be controlled. Draxon likes corrupting innocence. I'm hardly innocent. I've killed far too many men to ever be thought of as that. But it's all about perception. A light of red interest hangs over the captain's shoulders. It's battling with the orange of indifference. Good. And Raiden, I turn toward him, reading his desires. He is not nearly as captivated by this form. Raiden likes a challenge. He likes games. I'm not nearly as compelling for him like this. Interesting. Might make the deception more difficult, though. Currently, he's surrounded by blue. Blue is confusion. I've spent years trying to understand the meanings of the colors I see. I've had to ask pirates what they're feeling when I'm like this, so I can associate words with what I see. It's difficult, because people are less inclined to talk when they're deep in emotion. But I've managed to fill in the gaps. I wait silently, the embodiment of patience and tolerance. Bryden looks as though he's about to fall over. He's craning his neck so far, trying to make sense of what's in front of him. Draxon's the captain, though. He has to set an example for the others, has to force himself to come to his senses more quickly. The man has a reputation to make, being the new and young captain that he is. Draxon is definitely the hardest mark on the ship. Were we alone, he'd probably be on me within 5 minutes. It's amazing the things people will do in secret when others can't see their actions. That'll be the trick, getting him alone. And especially away from ever-perceptive little brother Ryden.
For star's sake, someone hand her a mop, Draxon says.
There are 5 men already at the deck, swabbing it with mops. The nearest pirate eagerly jumps forward and hands over his. Thank you, I say as I delicately touch the wooden handle with my fingertips. Every seaman finds himself swabbing the deck at some point. The task is one that must be done frequently to keep salt and excess water from building up. Never did care for it myself, but I can't let that show now. I start my task, moving the mop in smooth movements. I bend over farther at particularly tricky spots. Everything I do has a purpose. I'm aware of each movement I make, and Draxon's reaction to it. When fancy strikes, a man gets this notion in his mind that everything a woman does is for him. Right now, this is true for Draxon. Though he tries to hide it, I know he watches me. He can't make sense of the change, but he doesn't think me that intelligent to begin with. And now his desire is growing, burning redder and redder.
What are you doing?
I'm pulled from Draxon's emotion as Ryden speaks. Swabbing the deck.
No, not that. You're being different.
Different how? Could you move over, please? I need to get that spot.
See, now that is exactly how you're being different. Since when do you say please? And why are you moving like that? You look ridiculous.
You're free to think as you like, I say delicately, like it's a compliment.
Stop, he says, dragging out the word.
You don't wish me to mop any more?
I'm talking about your behavior. Cut it out. It's wrong.
I'm not sure I understand what you mean.
You're attracting the wrong kind of attention on this ship, lass. That's going to get you into trouble.
And what would be the right kind of attention? Yours, perhaps? I can't help but egg him on when he's like this. Besides, I can still sense Draxon from behind me. I take a quick peek and see that a little green is weaving into his colours. Good. Draxon doesn't like me talking to Ryden.
I didn't mean...
Ryden begins. Didn't you, though? I home in on him now, focusing on his wants and needs. I can see into the deepest desires of his heart. You long for happiness, Ryden, but you don't have the courage to go find it. You are strong and courageous in many ways, but when it comes to taking care of yourself, you're weak.
Alosa,
Ryden says, lowering his voice. His expression has turned to one of earnestness, and I can feel that he means whatever he's about to say.
I'm sorry for what happened between us before, if that upsets you. You don't need to retaliate by doing this.
You think this is all for your benefit, Ryden? How wrongfully conceited you are. It's exhausting to fight all the time. I'm done with it.
Alosa, please. Can't you see what you're...
Ryden? It's Draxon calling out. Ryden exhales slowly. Perhaps he can read his brother without any special abilities.
Aye, Captain. Bring the girl up here.
Ryden doesn't answer. He's looking at me. I'm still focused on him. His colours are split. He's torn between the loyalty he has toward his brother and what he feels for me. Two entirely different swirls of red, the hardest colour to decipher. With most pirates, I can safely assume it's lust. But it's not the right shade for what Raiden feels towards his brother, or me. Frustration is probably what it is.
Raiden, the captain calls again. Coming, Drax.
To me, he says.
Here we go. Leave those behind.
He points to the mop and bucket. I oblige. Raiden holds out an arm, indicating that he wants me to go first. At least he's not going to perform that dreadful upper arm grasping bit that he's so fond of. As we pass through the throng of working men, I spot Enwin, who is shaking his head and smiling. He's impressed. Just as I admired his thieving abilities, he is admiring my own skills. Though I cannot read his mind, I can easily tell that he sees right through me. He may not know exactly what I'm doing, but he knows a fellow actor when he sees one. It's a quick walk up the starboard side of the ship and up the companionway. We stop at the aftercastle near the helm.
That'll be all, Raiden. Are you sure, Captain? Yes. But she might... I'm quite capable of handling myself.
Of course. Raiden descends the stairs again. He takes position at the other end of the ship, on the forecastle, where he can survey all the men and keep them in line. I note that he also has a clear view of us up here. Even from this distance I can read his colours. He's black, with a little green. Black is fear. Why should Raiden be afraid?
You are relieved, Kieran, Draxon says. Go fill yourself with drink. Don't need to tell me twice. Just keep a due northeast, Captain.
Draxon takes the helm while Kieran leaves, giving me a bored nod as he swaggers on by. That leaves us alone on the upper deck. Of course we're in view of most of the pirates, but they're not able to hear anything that might be said, and I can tell Draxon wishes to talk. Peculiar, that.
Have you directed a ship before?
He asks. No, I lie. It's the answer he wants to hear. He's a fool for believing it. And the pirate king's daughter. Of course I've directed a ship. But Draxon isn't exactly thinking at his best right now. He grabs my hand and leads me in front of him. I grasp two random knobs on the helm.
No, he says. Put one hand here.
He moves my hand for me.
And the other here. There, doesn't that feel better?
His voice is as commanding and firm as ever. He enjoys telling others what to do. It's a good trait in a captain. I can't help but glance over at the other end of the ship. Raiden hasn't moved from his spot, and I can't see his face to tell if it's changed, but I can sense what he feels. He does not like Draxon touching me. That makes two of us.
Keep the bow of the ship heading northeast. The sun is close to setting, so see that it remains behind you on your left. Once it sets, we use the stars to guide us.
It takes some effort not to roll my eyes. Really? It is an innocent question, not sarcastic.
Yes, we should all worship the stars. They are as useful as they are beautiful. Some never change position. They are constants in the sky. Without them, we would be lost.
Fascinating. He continues to prattle on. He prefers that I stay silent. I can feel it. This change in his attitude is not really a change. It's more of a performance. Everyone changes when they want something. And right now, Draxon wants me. How can he not? I'm giving him exactly what he wants. He can't help but be pulled nearer and nearer. That darker, pirate nature is momentarily cast aside. He is trying to enchant me in the way I'm enchanting him. It's a usual response. But it never works, of course. I am always the one in control. Chapter 14. It's finally nighttime. I can soon be done with this charade. Unfortunately, being able to see the stars only prompts Draxon to talk more.
You see these constellations here? He points north. And this one here?
He points toward the south. Yes.
They weren't always stars.
What were they? It's incredibly sappy of him to use this story.
They were lovers. Valyrian, he points to the one in the south, and Amphitryia, he indicates the one in the north. Theirs is said to be the greatest love story ever told. Sadly, it does not end well.
What happened? I ask, hoping he'll move it along more quickly.
There was another in love with Amphitryia. Xeomen, a sorcerer of the blackest arts. He loved her dearly, but Amphitryia had only eyes for Valyrian. Enraged by his jealousy, Xeomen cursed them both. He changed their forms and placed them both in the sky, on opposite ends of the world, so they could never be together.
How tragic, I say.
Drax nods. While all the other stars in the sky move, there are three constellations that never change. Valyrian and Amphitryia are two of them.
Who is the third? Draxon points upward again.
Xeomen. It wasn't enough to separate them, so he cursed himself as well. There he remains, equidistant from the two lovers, blocking their view of each other. See how he's pointed towards Amphitryia and she toward him?
Yes.
Amphitryia tries to see her Valyrian, but no matter how hard she looks, she can never see past Xeomen's form.
If this story ever persuaded a woman to climb into bed with Draxon, I'd slice my arm off. A soft silence follows his story. Every once in a while, I lead us off course, forcing Draxon to grab my hands and redirect me. He doesn't think I'm trying to steer us away. He only thinks me incompetent. I'm giving him encouragement to touch me, to want more, to take me into his quarters so I can search him for the map. The night sailor comes up top.
Shall I take over, Captain?
Yes, I think I'll retire now.
Very good, then.
Come over here, girl, Draxon demands. I follow him over to the door leading to his quarters.
Shall we continue our discussion of the constellations for a while more?
Oh, yes. As if we could still see the constellations while in his room. Blundering idiot. I don't know how much longer I can stand this. Draxon lights a few candles once we're alone in his quarters.
Tell me more about the two lovers, I say.
I have a better idea, he says.
Here it comes. He just wanted me alone so his crew wouldn't see him, or see me struggle. Though I don't see how he can conceal what we're doing when every man still on deck saw me enter his room.
And what might that be? I ask.
Lie on the bed.
What for?
He loves my questions. He wants to answer them. He wants to show me. He's too caught up in the moment to realize this is all a ploy. He should know better. But when I focus on one man, they can never tell. They're too caught up in, well, me.
I'm going to show you something more magical than the stars.
Oh, yuck. Yuck, yuck, yuck. I can't do this. I can't stand to hear him talk anymore. He needs to shut his mouth. I step forward, get right into his face.
How about if I show you?
When I lift my head up to his, he greedily meets me for a kiss. He's not a bad kisser, though I doubt Draxon has had as much practice as Raiden. But I get no enjoyment out of this, because I'm not bored and looking for fun. I'm trying to get something done, and I know exactly the kind of foul man Draxon is. It's impossible to ignore when I'm so focused on the desires of his heart and mind. I remove his coat and toss it to the floor with the intent to search it soon. Draxon takes it for an invitation. He goes right for my breeches, fumbling with the clasp. Ooh, that's enough of that. I shove Draxon down onto the bed and climb on top of him. From there I make it look as though I'm hurrying to undo the belt on his pants. I can feel the lust burning in him. It's disgusting and wretched, and I want to stamp it out. When I get his belt buckle undone, I slide off his sword, sheath and all. I use the end to knock him out, square on the head.
Oof, he says before lying down, motionless.
I'm not sure what's worse, what I just did, or what I still have to do. Don't look at him, I tell myself,
Focus on the clothes, not what lies beneath.
I undress him. Every last article of clothing. I leave him lying naked on the bed while I search through every pocket, check for hidden linings, a fake sole in his boots. But it's not here. My stomach sinks. How can it not be here? I was so sure. I was desperately counting on it. Now what am I to do once he wakes? He'll know I conked him. He'll know I used him for something, and he will not be happy. And then we'll soon reach my father, and he'll... Now I have to stop that line of thinking at once. It'll do me no good. I must keep my mind firmly in the present. How can I fix this? Singing Jackson into forgetfulness isn't an option. I haven't enough song left to erase his memories. Fiddling with memories takes more than putting men to sleep. I've made a fine mess of things. Seduce Jackson, that has to be my worst idea yet. I have to cover my mouth to keep from grunting out in frustration. Suddenly, there's a banging at the door.
Jackson?
It's Ryden.
Open up now, or I'm coming in.
I hear the handle unlatching, so I race to the door. As it opens, I climb out and shut it behind me before Ryden can see inside.
What's going on?
He asks. Your brother was just telling me about the constellations, I say. Ryden's eyes widen. This must be usual play for Draxon.
He didn't...
Didn't what? I ask.
You didn't let him...
He can't get it out. Ryden, we were hardly in there for 2 minutes. He shakes his head.
Of course. But what's he doing now, then?
His eyes widen.
Tell me you didn't kill him.
While I'm flattered he knows I'm easily capable of killing Draxon, I still roll my eyes. I didn't kill him.
Then why isn't he yelling and swearing?
Fair point, that. I'll have to throw in a bit of honesty if I'm going to get out of this one. He was getting too handsy, so I knocked him out. Ryden relaxes a bit. I find it humorous that he isn't offended or worried I knocked out his brother. He eyes the door. He absolutely cannot go in there. I can't explain why Drexon's naked if I didn't bed him. And, well, I don't want Ryden thinking I bedded him.
What is going on, Alosa? Why did you go in there in the first place?
We need to get away from here. Right now. I don't know how much time I have before Draxon wakes. Can we talk somewhere else? I ask. Back in your room, maybe? I'll answer all your questions. It's cold out here. He still eyes me suspiciously, but he finally consents, weaving the way back towards his room. There's extra force in his strides. Ryden leaps onto the main deck, not bothering with the stairs. The night watchmen turn their heads to see the cause of the racket. When Ryden wrenches open the door to his room, I can't help but smile. He's in a mood. But my amusement vanishes almost instantly. I have a big problem. It's taking everything I have not to panic. Maybe I should go back and kill Draxon. When he wakes up, everything will go to hell anyway, and Draxon deserves to die. I'm just not sure if I could do that to Ryden. For reasons I cannot explain, he loves his brother. I think he would be devastated at his death, maybe even broken. But what other choice do I have? Where else could the map possibly be? If it's not on the ship, and Draxon doesn't carry it on his person... I'm staring at Ryden's back when it hits. What if Ryden has it? After I searched Draxon's room on the first night of my capture, my next thought was that he might have given the map to Ryden to hide. But what if Ryden hides it on his person? How could I be so slow? I've had ample opportunities to check Ryden for it. On the night I sang him to sleep, not even a hurricane would have woken him. Now I suppose I'll have to knock him out like I did Draxon. I can't really do any more harm now, can I? I've already sabotaged the mission. Or perhaps not. Maybe when Draxon wakes, he'll do no more than put me back in my cell. But I doubt it. When we're alone, Ryden stands expectantly, arms crossed. As soon as I knock Draxon out, I release the siren part of me. that takes its toll on my mind after a while. It's hard to explain, but I lose myself in others if I'm focused on their feelings and desires for too long. They start to become my own, and I forget who I am. It's terrifying. Father would push me, help me understand how long I can endure being consumed in others before I start to become like them. I've never allowed myself to pass my breaking point since then. If that weren't enough, I have to deal with the short-term side effects as well, the feelings of otherworldliness. I hate the desires and emotion that are as clear to me as paint on a canvas. They're not mine, and I don't like feeling them, sensing them. Besides, I don't need to read Raiden. I just have to be careful because he's already suspicious and confused. If I'm going to get the drop on him, I'll first need to get him to relax, to talk. I'll need to give him lies mixed with truths. I'm worried, Raiden, I start. My father, he may seem as if he cares for me, as if he's eager to have me back in exchange for a ransom, but he'll be furious with me.
Why?
He asks. For getting caught in the first place. He'll think me careless and stupid, and he'll rage about the money he lost as a result. I don't know what he'll do to me once he gets me back. Raiden glances down at my legs, no doubt remembering the scars he once saw there.
I can believe that. But what was with all of that?
He jerks his thumb in the direction of the deck. His face hardens. I was trying to get Jackson's attention. I needed to speak with him about it. I thought maybe we could work something out, find a way for him to get his money and for me to be set free.
And?
Jackson wasn't interested in talking. Raiden winces at that. He puts his hand up to his face, scratches the back of his head.
I'll speak to him.
I don't have to fake my confusion. About what?
I'm sure there's a way we can get our money and then let you walk free. You'll have to divulge all the information you've been holding back, but you don't have to return to your father.
I laugh, a short, doubtful sound. Where else would I go?
Anywhere.
He'll find me no matter where I go.
Then don't leave. Stay.
Raiden's mouth widens at his own exclamation. Stay? Why ever would I do that?
I don't know why I said that. Forget it.
He looks very uncomfortable, possibly ready to bolt. I need to act quickly. How am I to get a clear shot to his head? And what am I supposed to knock him out with? Raiden's removed all weapons from the room, and he's definitely still suspicious after everything that happened with Jackson. This doesn't leave me with many options. It's hard to think clearly when everything's falling apart. For now, I need to keep him talking. Something will come to me eventually. You said it because you were thinking it, I say.
No, I wasn't.
Really? Your mouth came up with it all on its own?
It's very talented.
Yes, I'm well aware. I could slap myself for saying that. But I need to keep him talking. I need to think. He smiles knowingly.
We probably should talk about that.
About what? I ask, too innocently to be believable.
You know what?
It's been a couple of weeks. Why should he want to talk about it now? Actually, he's a pirate. Why should he want to talk about it at all? What exactly do you have to say? I ask, curious as ever. Raiden says nothing. I can see him searching for the words, but nothing will come to him. Here is all that needs to be said, I say. I'm a prisoner on this ship. I'm also the only woman on the ship. You got a little lonely, and I got a little crazy. That's it. It was stupid, but it's over. So let's move on. Should I ram him into the wall? He'll be knocked unconscious like Draxon, but if he sees me do that, he'll be very suspicious when he wakes. How many women have the strength to do something like that? Raiden already knows something is off about me. What if he guesses? Paranoia must be setting in. I need more sleep.
I don't think so.
What? I ask, coming back to the conversation. Raiden knows I heard him, so he doesn't bother repeating himself. Has he gotten so used to arguing with me that it's all he can do? Even when I speak the truth? Why is he so adamantly pressing the matter? I decide to cheat. Right now, my curiosity is more powerful than my revulsion, and I have plenty of time before I lose myself. I hone in on Raiden, on his mind and his heart. I can feel his frustration, both with himself and with me. I just don't know why. I can sense feelings and desires, but I can't read minds, helpful as that would be. I never know the whys behind people's intentions. All I know is Raiden wants to kiss me again. Right now, it is his greatest desire, and he can't hide it from me. I feel it as though it were my own emotion. And though I'm sure it's merely because he hasn't had some alone time with a woman in a while, this is most definitely something I could use to my advantage. Forget knocking him out. I need Raiden's greatest desire to become sleep. Once he's asleep, I can keep him that way with my song. There's enough in me for that. But there's only one way to change what he wants most. I have to give him the first one, so he will be satisfied and think of something else. I swallow. For some reason, the thought excites me. Must be the thrill of the game. So how to start? You don't think so? I ask. What do you think happened then? A deep, stormy grey surrounds him. He feels guilty. That'll be the betrayal to his brother, no doubt. He wants to be assuaged from that guilt. He wants to get what he wants without the consequences that'll come with it. Typical pirate. No responsibility. Just selfish desire.
I think, Raiden finally says, there is more here than either of us is willing to admit.
More of what? His frustration flares, as does the desire. Interesting how they're tied together. But I can't hold on to this any more. Time to let the siren go again.
What did you do? He asks.
I quirk an eyebrow. What do you mean?
You just changed. You looked off for a moment, but I thought I'd imagined it. Now you look yourself again.
Nobody has ever been able to tell when I'm using my abilities before. Raiden couldn't have actually noticed the difference, could he? Well, Raiden, if this conversation has been any indication, you are clearly not at your best. Perhaps you should get some rest.
Sleep is the last thing on my mind.
I know that. I need to get him onto the bed. You need to relax. Here. Come. Sit. I sit on the bed and pat a spot next to me. He looks conflicted, pained. Maybe I shouldn't have put the siren away so soon. But I will not be reduced to pulling her out again tonight. I'd have to be truly desperate indeed. Don't worry. I'm not going to hurt you, I say. He scoffs.
As if you could.
I point to his side, where I cut him when we were on the island.
I allowed you to do that.
Right. Because you're so bold and brave. Come, sit. Even conflicted pirates need a break. He finally yields. But he won't look at me, and he's ensuring there's a good foot between us on the bed. Interesting, since I already know what he really wants. He must be trying to stay away from temptation. If so, he shouldn't have relented the bed. That's all the invitation I need. I imagine being the first mate is stressful for you, I say.
Why is that?
Because you're not the captain. I couldn't stand being the first mate. I always have to have my way. He laughs. I like the freedom it gives me, I continue. You seem like you want more freedom.
Am I so easy to read?
I didn't have to use my powers to learn that. Raiden is easier for me to read than others. At times. There's more going on in here than you say. I tap my finger once to his head. He finally turns toward me at the contact.
How do you know so much? How are you... you?
I am me because I choose to be me. I am what I want. Some people say you have to find yourself, Not I. I believe we create ourselves to be what we want. Any aspect of ourselves that we do not like can be altered if we make an effort. That might have been a bit much, but Raiden eats it up. His eyes burn. They really are a beautiful brown. I reach out and grasp his hand with mine.
What are you doing?
He asks. Nothing. I wanted to touch you, so I did.
Simple as that?
Simple as that.
I want to kiss you again.
So then why don't you?
Because I can't help you. All I can do is take, but give nothing in return.
I'm struck speechless by his honesty. Maybe not the honesty, but the sincerity and selflessness in what he said. I've never heard a pirate say such a thing. It's wrong. Uncomfortable. Almost makes me feel guilty for how I'm playing him. Almost. I slide closer to him, move my hand up to his face, and whisper, "But you are giving. You're distracting me from the fate that awaits me. That's more than I could have hoped for." I lean forward and press my lips to his. Rather than kiss me back, he puts his hand in my hair and says my name softly, with a touch of hopelessness. I know he wants this. I just have to make him give in to it. I lift up my legs and slide them over his lap, drawing him nearer to me at the same time. Though I'd die of embarrassment if anyone on my crew knew I said this, I add, "Please, Raiden. I want this. Don't you want this?" That does the trick. I finally feel movement under my own lips. It's soft, unsure. Curious to be coming from Raiden, who has always seemed so sure of himself. Perhaps he needs some more encouragement. I trace his upper lip with the tip of my tongue. The change is instant. Before I know it, he's got his hand at the back of my head, the other on the side of my thigh. I move my lips down to his neck, teasing him in just the right places to get his heart pumping even faster. But he's done with letting me have all the fun. With a hand at my chin, he brings my lips back up to his. He takes control of the kiss, setting his own rhythm and pace. I let him, give him a sense of control. I have a feeling he'll need it if I'm to get him right where I want him. Raiden removes his coat. Obviously, things are getting warm for him in here. Good. One less thing I'll have to remove for myself. For a moment, I allow myself to get caught up in the kiss. It's all for a greater purpose, but I cannot deny how different it is to kiss Raiden than it was to kiss Draxon. Draxon felt wrong. Draxon is a selfish lover. That much was obvious. And Raiden? Raiden is not. Raiden knows where to stroke my skin to make me feel more alive. He has me practically panting under the pressure of his lips. I gasp when his teeth nip at the skin above my throat. Raiden lowers my back onto the bed. I reach for the base of his shirt and pull it up. He helps me get it over his head before discarding it to the floor. But I take careful note of exactly where it lands. Hidden pockets can be sewn anywhere. The plan was to give Raiden a little of what he wanted, to make him less frustrated so he'd want to sleep. I can see now how this might not have been the best plan. Maybe it wasn't even a real plan, just my way of justifying kissing him again. At least I'll have fewer articles of clothing to remove once he's out. Men are heavy. But what am I to do about what's happening now? Raiden fingers the string that laces the side of my corset. While he's not undoing it, the action is driving me mad. Does he realize this? He can't be doing it offhandedly. He's far too devious for that. My stomach burns with excitement. My mind battles against it. Jackson's knocked out. You don't have much time. But Raiden's hands are so soft and warm, I don't want him to stop touching me. You need to find the map now. Think of what Father'll do if you fail. But the thought of Raiden's lips makes me salivate. I could stay in his arms forever. Alosa, have you forgotten your desire to become the Queen of Pirates? There's an island filled with treasure out there. Get the map, and everything will fall into place. Right. Blast it. This'll be the most reckless thing I've done since coming to this ship. But I need to act before Draxon wakes, and before I get lost in the moment. There's so very little left, but it'll have to do. I let out a song. One single note. It's all I have. But luckily for me, Raiden is already so very much in tune with me. He topples over onto the bed. Out in an instant. There's no way that'll last long. There was hardly anything in it. My breath is still traveling faster than the wind. That was very stupid. While I had enough song to put Raiden to sleep, there was none left to make him forget. He'll remember me singing to him. But once I have the map, I can be off this ship and it won't matter. Father will take possession of the Nightfarer and kill everyone on board. There will be no one left to tell. A wooden plank creaks. My eyes dart toward the door, but I shake my head and quickly look away. The ship is old. Wood creaks. Though I'm pressed for time, I have to take a few seconds to breathe. My heart pounds at an impossible pace. Eventually, I check his coat and shirt, running my fingers over the material several times. I can't tell if I'm disappointed or not when I know for sure it's not in either of them. Because that leaves his boots, leggings, and breeches. It's not like Raiden wasn't hoping he'd get these off anyway. I hurry with the rest of it, but unlike with Draxon, I don't take so many pains to avert my eyes. I've been stuck on this ship for quite a while. It's the least I deserve. The novelty wears off quickly once the unavoidable conclusion sinks in. The map's not here. Wrong again. Blast! Where else could it be? I've checked just about everything. Traxon wouldn't have hidden it somewhere on land. There's too great a chance of losing it, or forgetting where he's placed it. No one makes a map to find a map. I try to take deep breaths, but I have to turn away from Raiden's naked form in order to do that successfully. Now then, Father can hardly fault me if the map simply isn't here to begin with. But I know better than that. He'll blame whoever he can get his hands on. Which'll be me, once I deliver him the news. Who knows what it'll be this time? Locked in a cell for a month? Flogged daily in the strip? No meals for a week? It's not my fault. The map is nowhere on this ship. Nowhere on this ship. On it. My mind turns and tosses. Yes, I've checked everywhere on this ship. But what about on the outside of the ship? Chapter 15. How many realizations can a person have before one actually proves to be right? I close my eyes as I try to remember what the Nightfarer looks like from the outside. 60 feet long. Made with a combination of oak and cedarwood. 3 sails, rounded stern. But these are not what interest me. The bowsprit extends 20 feet in front of the ship. Below it, carved out of the same mixture of wood, is the figure of a larger-than-life-sized woman. She's beautiful, with long flowing hair and big glassy eyes, probably made from actual glass. But it's the dress that leads me to believe that the girl is supposed to be a siren. She's wearing a long dress that's made to look as though it's rippling underwater. She appears weightless, too, by the way her legs are unattached to the boat, hanging above the water. She is connected only by her back. I feel as though the entire future rests in my hands as I hurry from Raiden's room. I scurry around the ship, binding myself a long, sturdy rope. Using a bowline knot, I attach it to the railing at the bow of the ship. Effortlessly, I lower myself down and hang right in front of the siren's large face. My wrists are mostly healed from hanging in front of the pirates for an entire day. They trouble me little now. Besides, I'm more concerned with finding this map and doing it quickly. A little pain now will be nothing compared to what could happen should I fail. I move my hands over the wood that makes up her skin, looking for any hidden slots, trick buttons, or anything else that might be concealed in the wood. I feel an indent at the top of her hairline, but that turns out to be just a groove in the wood. But my heart raced at the possibility of it. Then it crashes as that proves to be useless as well. Was Jeskor's line careless? Did they lose their map over the centuries? Raiden did say his father grew to be sloppy. Maybe he gambled the map away. That would make it nearly impossible to find. I can hear light footsteps up on the deck, but that's likely just the watch. I had to slip past them on my way down here. How can all this have been for nothing? I've been kidnapped, questioned, tortured, and reduced to playing horribly demeaning roles to get what I want. I'm so furious the rope I cling to starts swaying. My body is tight, occasionally rocking as I lurch with frustration. What was that? I swear I caught a glint of something in her eye. Leaning forward, I cause the rope to swing again. There it is again. Her left eye. It looks darker than the right from this angle. I can feel my blood pounding under my skin, my heart beating in my head. I reach down to grab a lower end of the rope. I wrap it around my foot several times and then hold the end under my chin. I need both hands for this. My dagger is still in my boot. Raiden has not once asked me for it. He must have forgotten about it. I wedge the blade in between the glass and the wood and apply pressure at an angle. The glass pops off, and I barely catch it before it topples into the water. From the back, I can clearly see that a piece of parchment has been encased within. How can it be anything else than what I seek? Finally, I say breathlessly. I cock my head sideways at the one-eyed siren. Sorry about that, but I need to take this. The eye is about the size of a large apple, but I still manage to fit it into one of my pockets so I can climb the rope. I'm smiling as I haul myself over the edge and drop onto the deck. But then I look up. I'm not alone, not even close. It appears that the entire crew is on deck. That'll be including a clothed Raiden and Draxon. Oh, stars.
Well, look who it is,
Draxon drawls out. It's hard to tell his mood. On the one hand, he looks pleased to have caught me. On the other, he is very unpleased to see me. I did, after all, leave him knocked unconscious and naked in his room.
A little prisoner.
Or would thief
be a better term here?
Thief, I say, with a mixture of confusion and anger.
Well, you're either a thief or a whore, princess. Those are the only words that would explain the situation you left the two of us in.
I believe the only thing I've stolen from the likes of you is your dignity. Perhaps your reputation. Draxon lowers his eyelids. If I thought he hated me when I first came onto the ship, it's nothing compared to what he thinks of me now. He takes a step forward.
Turn out your pockets,
Raiden says. I turn my attention over to him. He's trying so very hard to keep a mask over his face. But something keeps peeking through. Disappointment? Anger? Maybe even a tinge of sadness? Am I the reason for that? Draxon draws his sword.
Turn out her pockets? Why don't we have the princess take off her clothes so we can inspect her properly?
A few men whistle. But I'm not worried.
I'd jump overboard before I let that happen.
Raiden tries to solve things on his own.
Hand it over, Alosa.
What am I handing over?
Oh, don't be daft, lass. We know you've found the map.
I just managed to dig out a few holes near the bottom of the ship. Never mind to set you all to sinking. Draxon tries to advance on me again, but Raiden beats him to it. He whispers,
I don't know why I'm still trying to protect you, but know my brother is in a foul mood that even I might not be able to assuage. You must give it over now.
I don't have... But he must see the bulge in my clothing. He reaches it before I'm able to stop him. No, no, no. Raiden removes the eye from my pocket. He studies it carefully. I can see the precise moment when he's convinced the map is inside. He nods in satisfaction and steps back, handing the glass to his brother. The map is enough to calm Draxon down ever so slightly.
At last, he says.
Wait, I say, realizing something given Draxon's reaction. You knew about the map. You just didn't know where it was.
Hadn't a clue,
he says cheerily, rubbing the details into my face.
We stole you away to get the drop on the Pirate King in order to get our hands on his part of the map. You finding our own map for us turned out to be quite serendipitous.
I stare back, open-mouthed.